a lot of the stuff that we're sharing is from the Word of God, which stands the test of time and is not things that we have come up with our own. We're literally just like sharing God's word and his heart for marriage and relationships. And so, whether you're 26 and sharing that or 65 and sharing that shouldn't matter. It's still the Word of God.
Welcome to Cultivating the Lovely. I'm your host, Mackenzie Coppa. You can find out more about the podcast at cultivatingthelovely.com, in our Yellow Brick Road membership community at patreon.com/cultivatingthelovely, and in our Facebook group. I would also love to connect with you on Instagram, where you can find me at Mackenzie Coppa. That's MackenzieKoppa. Ladies, I am so excited to finally get to share today's interview with you because it was one of the first books that I read this year. I absolutely loved it. I did this interview a couple of months ago and I have been eager to share it with you ever since because I think the interview is top notch. Plus, I think that the book is amazing. And it is with Audrey Roloff from the new book, A Love Letter Life, that she wrote with her husband, Jeremy Roloff. Now, you may be familiar with them. They were on Little People, Big World for many years. Jeremy has been on it since he was a young boy and now they're no longer on it. But if you're familiar at all with their story, as I was, I think you're going to be really refreshed to see this different perspective on it and how well grounded in the word this couple is and their vision for marriages, I think, is beautiful. This is a book that I intend to read with my kids. It is that good. I want my kids to look at this as a guide for how to walk into a very intentional, loving marriage. And I think if I had done things a little bit more the way they prescribe in this book, I might not be in the situation that I'm in. It is just so good. All of their tips, you would think, they're a fairly young couple. You might have some doubts about whether or not they have any real advice to be giving to marriage. I know I had my own doubts before I read the book as well. But seeing how seasoned they are really for a young couple is pretty amazing. And they fully admit that everything they bring to the table in this book is wisdom that they have garnered from people who have walked down this road far longer than they have. And they are just kind of making it public knowledge, all of these amazing tips that they received for their relationship. So I think you're going to love this interview. I love talking with Audrey. But before we get there, I do want to say that it is the last week to sign up for cultivating groups in Patreon. So if you go over to patreon.com/cultivatingthelovely, if you are in the lovely tribe or the loveliest level, then you can join our cultivating groups. These are groups of 5 to 7 women that meet on Marco Polo. And this quarter, we are going to be working through the workbook that I have that includes goals and Bible study and all kinds of other discussion. We're going to incorporate a lot more discussion about the actual podcast episodes into our groups as well. And so many women who are in these groups have found that they've made lifelong friendships. They've really connected with the other ladies because it's on video chat. So you can truly see the other people and get to know them in a different way than you would be able to just normally online or even through something like Voxer. It's a really powerful medium. And I think that you guys will really enjoy it and feel a part of a community and a tribe, if that's something you're looking for, if you're looking for accountability or working on your power sheets, all of those kinds of things we incorporate into these groups. So I really encourage you to come over to Patreon and join us. Again, it's patreon.com/cultivatingthelovely, and we hope to see you there. Registration for quarter 2 ends this Friday, April 5th. But now let's get on with the podcast because I just love this episode. Welcome, Audrey.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
I am so excited to have you on the show. I hate to say, like, I've been a fan because that just sounds like, I don't want to be a fan, but I have been, I think you're probably the first person on the show that I've seen their wedding.
Right. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Like, so crazy. Weird. but all that to say, I was, it came to me that you guys were coming out with a book and I was okay. I'm gonna be real honest. Are you ready for some honesty?
Yeah, I'm ready. Always.
I was equal parts like, oh, that could be really interesting. And like, did they just get a book deal because they like have been on TV? Is this like gonna be any good?
Totally.
Yeah. But I am thrilled to say that this book not only like met my expectations, but exceeded them. And I'm really excited to talk about it today because I think it's a really valuable tool. But for people who don't know who you are, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes. So most people, I always like to say, probably if you follow me, the first way that you probably know me is my husband grew up on a reality television show called Little People, Big World. And so we did that, you know, I kind of joined his family with that when we were engaged was really when I started to like appear on the show. And then our wedding was on the show. We always joke, like we, in the book, we kind of talk about the decision to film our wedding or not. And we like to say like, it was a decision to invite 2 million people to our wedding or 200 people to our wedding. And so anyways, we shared our wedding day with the world and then continued to share our lives through the TV show for about 4 years of our marriage. And then this past year have stepped away just to kind of focus on the things that we really feel like the Lord has put on our heart to do and press into. And I know calling is a big scary word, but just the things that we feel like we are supposed to work towards. And so we, some of those things have just been, Jeremy and I have a huge heart for relationships, for marriage, for love stories. And we, that kind of came out of our sharing our wedding with the world. Just, we got a lot of questions from people that I would like forward the emails and comments to my mom and be like, Mom, why are people asking me these questions? Like, can you answer them for me? Because I felt so unequipped. But then we kind of realized like, you know what, like, we can share our story and share what we're learning and how we've failed. And we love relationships and we're so passionate about just building, being intentional with our love stories and creative with our love stories and faithful with our love stories. And so that's kind of how Beating 50%, our marriage ministry blog community, was born. And then out of that, we've created some other additional resources. And then on top of that, we also have a clothing line based on my life mission mantra, which is always more. It comes from the verse Ephesians 3:20, which is, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. It started as a motivational running reminder. I was a collegiate distance runner and I used to write it on my arm to remind me, like, I can always give a little bit more, you know, when I'm running. And then it sort of translated over into all aspects of life, giving more to my marriage, giving more to, as a mother, giving more as a friend, giving more to the Lord, more ways that I can serve him. And then on top of that, also like believing that there's more to discover about God and more ways that we can worship him and just all of that. So it's kind of become, pun totally intended, more than I ever imagined, because people have basically taken always more and adopted it to mean whatever it means to them. And so many people have tattooed it on their bodies. That's, it's just crazy. So that's been super fun. So Jeremy and I, we work together, do a lot of online entrepreneurial things. We, this is our first traditionally published book, but we have a self-published devotional journal. And then, just started a podcast a few months ago and we've been really loving that. It's been so fun.
It's a fun world and you guys are doing a good job of it.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's cute to hear you guys banter back and forth and like, I don't know, just, I'm really into the Enneagram. And
oh yeah.
So I listened to that episode with Chris Hewerts, isn't that?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And it was very cute to hear like, Jeremy's very like mind blown. Oh my gosh, I'm discovering all this stuff kind of thing. And then you kind of coming in and like, tempering it and like moving the conversation along. It was just very cute to listen
to. Yes. So I love all things Enneagram.
Yes, I know. I was actually going to mention that to people because a lot of my followers have been getting into it lately and interested. And I was going to say, you guys go listen to their episode about the Enneagram because it's fun to not only hear like what Chris Hewerts has to say about it, but then also looking at it from the perspective of what it looks like in relationships and how they feed off of each other and all that kind of thing. And you talk about it in your book too.
Yes, we do. Yeah,
which was very fun. I actually, like, I had all these questions as I was reading. I took copious notes while I was reading your book. And I didn't even intend to. Like, it's on the little, like, media flyer they sent me. Like, I didn't even have my journal out or anything. I was just like, oh, I got to write that down or I got to write that down. And so I'd be reading and I'd think, oh, I wonder if they did love languages. That's what it was.
I was going to say
Strengths Finder, but it was love languages. And then, like, the next paragraph was, so then we looked into the love language. I was like, oh, okay. And it was like another page later, oh, they're in the Enneagram too. So
yeah,
that was very fun.
We love all those tools.
Yeah, and you do a good job of like really mapping them out and seeing how people can use them and giving really practical examples. But okay, I do want to back up for a second because like as my listeners know, and I kind of talked to you about beforehand, like I'm in the middle of a big, crazy, messy divorce from a narcissistic abuser. And so what in the world am I doing having someone on my show who is all about like beating 50% and not getting divorced? And it's this book about relationships and how to be doing them better. But here's the facts, you guys. Most of you who listen are married. Or, you know, people who are getting married or, you know, I know that that is a big part of my listenership that I don't want to completely shy away from because I do still believe in marriage. I think that it's important. I think that it is something that God created for us to build us into the people that he wants us to be and to refine us. And I mean, I do hold marriage sacred just because I had to get out of an abusive situation. Yeah. Doesn't mean that I don't think that marriage is honorable or needs to be worked on or is valuable. Wow. And I think that your book, I mean, first of all, it's swoon worthy. Oh. Oh my goodness. You guys, if you just want to like read a great love story, just pick it up for that. Like I just got sucked in. Like I could not put it down because the things you guys did, it was so intentional. And I mean, you talk about that being part of, you know, creating a great love story that Jeremy even thinks about things in terms of, does this serve the story that I want to be a part of? But dang, it was, I mean, you see little bits and pieces from having, you know, seen episodes of the show or whatever, but it was so much more than anything I'd ever seen on, I mean, it's seriously, it's like a movie. Like, I kept thinking of You've Got Mail and how like they got to know each other like when she was thinking he was not, you know, in and just like, but the intentionality of their conversations and everything, I was like, this is a romantic comedy. Like this is crazy. This is That's your guys' so cool. actual life. But it was also like there's that part of it, like you were saying, you were passing the letters on to your mom going like, I'm unqualified to answer these things.
Yeah.
And there is, you guys are young, like you're still in your 20s, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So I would think, I'm going to ask you about this in a second, but I would think you've gotten some pushback maybe about that.
Yes. Yeah. But,
well, but I do want to say for everyone who's pushed you back, if you read your book, it's beyond your years.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. It's all those things. So encouraging. Really, like, that's very, very encouraging. And I'm so glad that you saw it as a love story, too, because we hope that it can serve both purposes of being like a love story that's fun to read and light, but also practical and, you know, and motivating and inspiring people to be more intentional and creative and faithful in their love story. So really encouraging. And also I'm so encouraged by you and just your willingness to like, to still believe in marriage and say the things that you just said, like is a huge testimony to so many people. And I'm sure, you know, your story is already, you've probably connected with so many people to how you've shared, you know, from what you've shared and how it's helped them. And I'm sure God's going to continue to use your story in that in crazy big ways. But I'm just encouraged by that and that you'd be willing to have me on and share about this amidst all that's going on in your life. So thank you for just being willing to do that. But anyways, yeah. So when, you know, when it comes to like being young and talking about marriage, we do get a lot of people that are like, who are you guys to be marriage experts? You've been married for a hot minute, you know?
Yeah.
And honestly, like we are not marriage experts. We never proclaim to be marriage experts. Nothing that we say is like, you know, all of our advice and things that we, you know, get practical tools we give to people. It's never like, hey guys, this is gospel. You got to do it this way. It's not prescriptive. It's just, you know, here's some ideas, here's some tools. Here's what we've learned from older couples that are further along in the journey. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the things that, just the Lord has been so faithful to provide Jeremy and I with wise counsel and mentorship and older couples who have really poured into us. And so a lot of beating 50%'s heart is just, it's an overflow of that. It's like, wow, all these people have poured into us and we just want to, it to, it's oozing out of us because
Yeah.
we just feel like we were so taken care of in that season of preparing for marriage and then into marriage. But we know so many people who aren't or don't have that older couple that they can lean on or look to. And so we were just like, well, you know, let's take the wisdom from old and recreate it, but also share what we're learning in the moment, share what we've learned from failing. And then also to breathe new life into our generation that marriage is a beautiful, fruitful, amazing, joy-filled thing. Because I think, I don't know if you guys experienced this when you got married or like you have friends that have experienced this, but like there's just such a negative view of marriage. People are afraid to get married or, at least for us, when we got engaged, there was so much, you know, so many remarks that we heard of people just saying things like, oh, you know, get ready to lose your freedom. Mm. Marriage is so hard. And it's like, on the one hand, yes, marriage is challenging. But on the other hand, like marriage is supposed to be like one of the most life-giving relationships that we experience as humans. Yeah. And so, we want to shed that light too, the positive light, the, you know, marriage can be, go into your marriage thinking that it's going to be the best thing ever. Yeah. Go into it with that, you know, don't go into it thinking it's going to be the hardest thing ever. Yeah. Because while it is hard, we like to look at it as more as it's challenging and I'm an 8 on the Enneagram. So when challenges come up, I'm like, oh yeah, bring it on. Let's work through this, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah. And then also too, like, you know, a lot of the stuff that we're sharing is from the Word of God, which mm-hmm. stands the test of time and is not things that we have come up with our own. We're literally just like sharing God's word and yeah. his heart for marriage and relationships. And so whether you're 26 and sharing that or 65 and sharing that shouldn't matter. It's still the Word of God.
Yeah,
those are kind of my thoughts on that when we get pushed back on that. And that's kind of my thoughts.
You guys
on
are
it.
Little Timothys walking yeah, around. Right. Ladies, there is one place I go to when I am needing to plan meals for my family. When I am doing all the work myself to figure out what we're eating, I always go to plantoeat.com. And I have for more than 5 years now because this site is so well thought out. It was created by an actual family with actual kids who had a lot of stuff going on and knew what needs a mom or dad would have when they are planning out meals for the week or the month or however long you want to plan out meals. When they were creating the site, they believed in the physical and emotional health that is directly tied to what we eat. And so they created Plan to Eat out of their desire to eat real great food prepared at home together as a family. So in order to do that, Plan to Eat gives you the tools to clip and organize recipes from any website, the ones your family loves and actually eat and fits your dietary preferences and needs. And you create a meal plan around your schedule. Then the website automatically creates an organized shopping list, which is pure bliss. And they even have an amazing app now that you don't even have to print anything out. You can just see everything right there on your app. It makes it super simple. Plus, they have a full-time support team that is available to help you get started with an account and answer all your questions. I love that I can create entire menus that fill a week and then repeat those menus on other weeks so I don't have to do the work all over again. They've really thought of so many things to make meal planning easier and doable and practical in everyday life. I can't say enough good things about this service. And it is a subscription service. It offers monthly or yearly options at either $4.95 a month or $39 a year. That's only 75 cents a week. Plus, they normally include a free, fully functional 30-day trial, no payment required, so you can easily see if it's right for you. But for my listeners, they're taking that 30-day trial and they're turning it into a 60-day trial, you guys. That's amazing and will truly give you a feel of how well thought out this site is and how it can be used in your everyday life. I think you're really gonna like it. So go to plantoeat.com/lovely. Sign up there to get in and find out just how easy it is to get your recipes in there and make it personalized to your family. You can even share recipes with other people on the site. You can find me at Bold Turquoise. I can't wait to hear what you think. Again, go to plantoeat.com/lovely to get a 60-day free trial. I know you're going to love it. The things that you are saying, though, in the book, it is such solid advice. I mean, just practical things like, hey, let other people speak into your relationships.
Yes.
That was, I know, a big thing for me. I mean, little backstory. I got married when I was 19.
Oh, wow.
You know, a lot of people in the church environment that I was in at the time, it was kind of this movement of like, oh, this is the person who came across your path, and so it must be the one that God has for you, so marry him right away.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah.
So there wasn't that building of friendship that you guys talk about in the book.
Yeah.
There wasn't that getting to know of each other's families and really, like, and I think you even, you talk about how you didn't want to date until it was going to be, you know, someone that you could see yourself with, but you also see the value in, like, you do have to not just kind of, like, commit right off the bat. Like, oh, I'm dating them, so I'm going to marry them. Like, there is that dating time to figure that out, if this is a good fit, and to establish that friendship that you guys put a lot of effort into. And I really appreciated that, but that you also talked about the importance of having other people's opinions and allowing them to raise red flags.
Yeah, yeah. That's been huge. And, like, that's been huge. You know, we both had experienced that in previous relationships, like, you know, allowing people to raise those red flags. And we knew that we wanted that going into our relationship. And, you know, sometimes there's people in your life that maybe shouldn't be the people that you give the authority to raise red flags, because, you know, like, you have to recognize that, like, sometimes people's parents are not the people that you want to take advice from. You know what I mean? So recognize that, but, like, find those friends that you do trust, that you do value, that hold the same things to be important in a relationship, and let them see in, like, I mean, Jared and I, our first 2 years of friendship was, we never really hung out alone. It was mostly like big groups of our friends, and allowing our friends to see us together and interacting and then speak into that. And we just found over and over that it was, people were just speaking affirmations into us. And so we were just like, more encouraged, you know, in our relationship. And as we continued to, you know, build our friendship, and as it grew towards, you know, a dating, which I know that word is so, like, what does that even mean? But as we got into, like, the dating season of our relationship, just having even more affirmation from those people that we really trusted and valued their opinions, was just such a huge, huge thing.
Yeah, I think that's so key, because when you shut those voices out is when, you know, that isolation causes all kinds of problems for us and all kinds of bad decisions in our life. And especially when it's about the person you're supposed to spend the rest of your life with. Like, go ahead and slow down and maybe heed some other advice.
Yes, amen to that.
And I also appreciated, I mean, I think anyone who may be, like, attacking you guys, like, oh, who are you to say? They need to just go ahead and pause for a second and read the book, because you guys are very honest about the struggles that you had, or the places where you slipped up, or the arguments that you had. Like, you didn't shy away from putting that stuff out there. Did that feel hard or vulnerable?
Yeah, very vulnerable. Yes, definitely. And we knew that we wanted to share those hard parts, because we're not perfect. Our love story is not perfect. And I know, even though sometimes, you know, we get lots of, I think I even wrote about this in the book, we get lots of comments from people that say things like, oh, relationship goals. And it's like, well, no, you know, wait, everyone has a chapter of their love story that they don't write or that they don't want to write. Mm-hmm. And we chose to share that in some sense, and to just share those things, because we know that so many people struggle with those same things that we struggle with. And so, hey, learn from our failures. You know, if our failures can help people not fail in the same things, then awesome. I'm totally willing to share that. And, I think most people will be, you know, respectful of that. I think most people appreciate that, that vulnerability. But like you said in the beginning, or when you first asked the question, like, you know, I think a lot of people with us, like, assume just from the kind of world that we came from, you know, that we're not going to go there, you know, that we're going to be overly protective of that, or that we're going to be, you know, because that's what you see with most quote unquote celebrities. And so I just think, like, for us, like, you know, we're trying to, like, break down that barricade for people so that they don't view us that way, so that they do view us as, hey, we're relatable. We've got these issues, you know, we're still working through these things. We don't have it all figured out. Like, we wrote this book, and there are so many things that we're still figuring out about how to love each other better, how to serve each other better. You know, like it's a constant daily journey of learning to love Jeremy better for me. And so, again, like I said in the beginning, we are not experts, but we just hope that this book can be a resource, a tool, an inspiration. So,
well, and I think you guys have had, I mean, it's different than someone who's just writing a book on marriage without like the outside perspective that you guys have, because you do, well, all of you are Christians. It's on a secular network, you know, like it's a secular environment that you're coming out of. For you guys to be as outspoken as you are being about your faith, I think is, and you're doing it in a grace-filled way, but it's incredibly admirable how you're, you know, like you're saying, following your calling and trying to be used by the Lord to speak into these things. And sometimes it takes, you know, being a celebrity for somebody to listen. And I think that these are really valid points that you guys are bringing up that I hope that people will be really receptive to, because a lot of it is just good, solid advice, like practical advice.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I need you to sit on my right shoulder and just, I'm just kidding.
I might be a little heavy.
You're so sweet. No, you're so sweet. Thank you so much.
So here's something just like relationally, I thought this was an interesting point that you guys bring up in the book, that having relational needs doesn't make you needy. And like talking, I kind of was going into like communication and different things, but do you want to talk about how that's looked for you guys?
Yeah. So I think in our relationship, we learned, for me at least, I didn't want to communicate some of the needs that I had from Jeremy, because I didn't want to come across as high maintenance. I didn't want to come across as needy. I didn't want to, I was afraid that I would ruin our relationship by expressing those things, like truly. And so instead I just withdrew, which I won't give away too much of the story, but which actually did what I didn't want it to do. And so, and then on the flip side of things, you know, Jeremy also had relational needs that in the book, we also talk about this. And he was really afraid and had to be vulnerable to share some of his relational needs with me and express some of his concerns, and just be honest with me about that. And I think those conversations are hard and require vulnerability, but they are so good if you can have them before you're married. And that's why I love tools like love languages, Enneagrams, because they're self-discovery for self-growth tools. And if you know, if you can learn yourself better, you can learn your needs better, and you can better articulate those to, you know, a potential spouse or to your current spouse. And I think, and it's, and not in a way where you're like, I need you to do this for me. Like there's a balance, right? But I think just being able to communicate, like, you know, for me, I got really sick in the book. I kind of talk about that. And I really needed Jeremy to realize that I was really sick and have compassion for my situation while he was off in Santa Barbara living it up and surfing and having the time of his life. I really needed him to, like, kind of, you know, help me bear that burden and be compassionate. But I didn't express that to him. I just kind of expected it of him without expressing it. And isn't that like such a huge problem in relationships? You know, so and still, I mean, we still are learning in this every day in our marriage, just learning how to communicate not only needs, but just expectations. Like Jeremy and I have this thing where anytime we're going to a party or an event, or if it's about to be Valentine's Day or about to be our anniversary, about to be Christmas, we always sit down and have a conversation. You know, usually it's in the car on the way to somewhere. Okay, what are your expectations for this? What are your expectations for this event? And then we just have a moment to just talk about, like, you know, I want to leave early because I'm super tired, or I want to spend a lot of time with my parents tonight because I haven't seen them in a while. You know, like then we don't have this like hidden expectation of how the night's going to go or how the day is going to go or how the birthday is going to happen. It's just, we've clearly talked about it. And obviously, like, still leave room for the element of surprise, and we love spontaneity and all of that. But just, I think just being intentional about that especially in those like bigger moments in life, is just been super helpful for us. So,
gosh, you guys are so dang intentional. It's like, how did they even get that way? Like, things I didn't even think
I'm
about.
Telling you, like, why, like, literally, I just feel like we are so blessed with like half the things, 80% of what I'm telling you is just stuff that other people have told me.
Yeah.
Just like resharing it. So,
it's great that you guys can be the sounding board for that. You can be the ones to get out all this great, you know, advice that you've been given, because it's solid. It's good stuff.
Thank you.
And I think also just on the communication front, you guys kind of talk about in the book, and I think it's just evident if people even think about it, that because you guys had built such a foundation of friendship and really knowing one another and trusting one another, then it seems like the confrontation maybe is a little less hard because you had that trust and relationship already built. Would you say that's true?
Yes, totally. I mean, absolutely. Just think of like, imagine if you just confronted someone, you know, on social media about something and you didn't know them or have a relationship with them, you know, like, no, that's not God's heart. Like I think like for us, building that foundation of friendship gave us just this safety net. It was like a safe place for us to have hard conversations on. We'd built that foundation. And so we're super passionate about that. We love like encouraging people to be friends first. And because at the end of the day, like most people say they married their best friend, you know, and friendship is what carries you into the 50, 60 year long marriages, you know, it's that friendship. And so, we love friends first.
We're all busy, right? Raising kids while balancing everything else, like health and activities and careers. But it doesn't mean that we have to stop learning and improving ourselves. You guys know that I am all about that. And there is an app I highly recommend for busy moms like us. It's called Blinkist. Blinkist is the only app that takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books, and condenses them down into just 15 minutes so you can read or listen. Blinkist is made of busy people like you who want to get the main points of the books quickly without reading the entire book. With an audio feature, Blinkist makes it easy to finish 4 books a day while you're on the go. 8 million people are using Blinkist right now, and it has a massive and growing library from self-help, business, health, to history books. I personally enjoy all of those categories. Recently, I've been listening to Purple Cow by Seth Godin because it has a lot of great marketing information that is really helpful to me, but I honestly just don't have the time to listen to the entire book right now. But also by using Blinkist, I'm able to identify the books that I want to dig deeper into and actually read the entire book of. So it's a really great win for my time. I use Blinkist when I'm in my car, driving everybody around all day, and it helps me feel like I'm being productive while doing a pretty mundane task. I also like to listen when I'm putting on my makeup in the morning. It just makes me feel like I'm getting my day off to a really productive start. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/lovely to start your free 7-day trial. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T. Blinkist.com/lovely to start your free 7-day trial. Blinkist.com/lovely. I think you're really going to like it. So, if there are people who are reading this book, because like I said, I have a lot of already married people who listen to this podcast. And so maybe they're reading it and they're going, okay, that's all well and great. You guys wrote, you know, typewriter letters to each other that were sealed in wax and, you know, that is all picture wonderful. And you guys did stuff for the most part, like the right way, but that wasn't my story. Or we're here now. How do we pick up and move forward and try to capture more of what you guys have? What would you say to them? What would be your advice?
Yeah. Gosh. So there's this one quote that just popped in my head, and I think I wrote it somewhere in the book in our purity chapter. It's like a Mary Pickford quote. I'll have to look it up and send it to you, but
I probably like underline it.
It's basically like you can have a fresh start at any moment you choose, essentially is the concept. And I was talking about it in terms of purity, you know, like if you've messed up, like you can have a fresh start at any point you choose. And I also said in that purity chapter, like God's grace makes the purity bottle not about what you did with your body, but what he did with his. But I think that translates over to anything, not just our bodies, but like, there, you know, like you can have a fresh start. Like you can be, you can have a renewed marriage. You can have a redeemed marriage. You can have a restored marriage. And at any moment that you choose, you know, yeah. like it doesn't have, you don't have to wait for a firework moment. You don't have to wait for XYZ ducks to line up. You know, you could choose right now in this moment, as you're listening to the podcast, that I'm going to invest more into my marriage and take one baby step in that direction. You know, yeah.
That Mary Pickford quote, I found it.
Yes, Mary Pickford.
So the first part you had, you may have a fresh start any moment you choose, for this thing that we call failure is not the falling down, but the staying down.
Yes.
Oh, so good.
I just love that. I'm like, I want to tell that to anyone who's ever been, you know, hurt or broken, like in whatever way, literally. It's just like anyone who's been crushed in spirit, it's like, they need to hear that.
Yeah. So. Yeah. No, I think that's really good advice to just kind of decide to start fresh.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys wrote this though after having your baby.
Yeah.
I can't imagine how you did that or how you even made your brain function to write.
I can't either. Yeah. Holy Spirit brain functioning. Yeah. I'm telling you.
My goodness. How long did it take you guys to write the book?
So we started writing it when our daughter Ember was 3 months old.
Dude.
And she was still just like, you know, a little, you know, slept all day kind of baby. And we wrote the whole book in 3 months. So,
wow.
Kind of that 3 to 6 months. And it was so funny. The day we turned in our first manuscript draft was the day that Ember started crawling.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, praise the Lord. Like, yeah. She wasn't crawling while we were writing the book. Yes. Holy smokes. So I'm very thankful that we wrote it, you know, 3 months postpartum and before she was crawling.
Wow.
It was like that. It literally was the perfect time. Lord knew timing of when we pitched this book and everything. It just all like totally was amazing timing.
How old is she now?
She's 16 months.
Okay. So you're like coming on a year later after having actually written it, you're, you know, more sunk into what motherhood feels like and the dynamics of that. How do you think that has impacted like the effort you put into your marriage?
Yes. Such a good question. We get this question a lot.
Oh, I bet.
I think so many people like, you know, struggle with that transition of, okay, now you're not just you guys anymore. Now you got this human to take care of and make decisions about that you need to be one in and agree on and all that. I think for Jer and I, you know, again, it just goes back to like pursuing each other creatively. Like we had to get creative again. You know, mm-hmm. some of our rhythms and things that we had established, our date nights and our whatever, had to change. And we had to, again, be re-intentional about it. And so I think for us, you know, one of the probably main things that's really helped us through that transition is our marriage journal. And we self-published this marriage journal, but we've been doing it long before we self-publish it, just in a chicken scratch journal. Mm-hmm. But it's essentially like 6 questions that Jeremy and I sit down to ask each other every week. And it's kind of that good time to talk about it in our relationship. One of the questions is like, what was one thing that was hard this week? What's one thing that brought you joy this week? What's a dream, craving, or desire that's been on the forefront of your mind? I can't tell you how many of our adventures and like trips have come from that question.
Yeah.
And then one of the questions is there any unconfessed sin, unresolved hurt, or conflict from the week that we need to reconcile or seek forgiveness for? And that question has prevented so much conflict, so much bitterness in our marriage. Every week we know we're going to have that time to talk about the hard stuff, if there was stuff that came up. And so like just becoming parents, like, you know, little things that we might disagree on throughout the week or, snapping at each other because we're tired or whatever it might be. Like we get that moment, that's that time carved out every Sunday night. We know we're going to get that time to talk about it, you know? Yeah. And it's so simple. Sometimes the whole journal, the 6 questions takes 10 minutes,
sure.
You know, but there have been times where it's taken 2.5 hours.
Sure. Yeah.
But that has been, from that time, we've been able to remain intentional in our marriage because we've been able to talk about ways that we might be failing or things that we need to work on. It just gives us that moment to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And so that's been like totally a lifeline for us. The number one thing just through that transition. I'm so grateful for it.
Yeah. Oh, I bet. And so would you just give us some like ideas of how you guys are like still creatively pursuing each other? I mean, if you read the book, it's like, oh, for love. That was really something. But, you know, in now that you're in it and you've got a baby, what are some of the things you do?
Yeah. So one thing that we started doing just this year is we decided at the beginning of the year, this was actually an idea a couple years ago. Jeremy gave me a jar for my birthday. And he said my birthday gift was that every night he was going to write in the jar something that he was thankful for me for or appreciated me for.
Wow.
And he told it to me every night. And then he just wrote it on this little slip of paper and put it in the jar. So easy, right? Like that's the easiest thing. And so this year, at the beginning of the year, we kind of did like our marriage retreat, like let's realign, have carved out a whole weekend to just kind of talk about the year. And one of the things that came from that time was, hey, let's do that together for each other this year. Mm. Like let's have a jar by our nightstands or whatever and write a piece of paper, say one thing that we're thankful for, one thing that we appreciated or loved about the other person, tell each other and put it in each other's jars, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's so simple. And just, it ends our day on a unifying note because we always do it like in bed at the end of the day. So we go to bed being grateful for each other, which is helpful because then we wake up being grateful. So simple. But that's just something in the past month that we've really loved. So
yeah, so simple and doesn't cost any money.
Yeah.
It just takes that intentionality and the commitment to keep doing it.
Yeah. And actually the other day I was like, I'm all into like, right now we're trying to like declutter our home and like clean up our lives. You know, that's, I know it's such a trend.
Have you been watching Marie Kondo?
I know. It's like, no, I part of me like cringes at some of the stuff, but then like at the other time I'm like, okay, this is practical. I need this. I need to like reorganize my drawers.
Yeah.
Just having these jars on our nightstand. I'm like, I have too many things on my nightstand. I have too many essential oils. Like I gotta like move the other stuff out of the way. So I found the cutest like tin letter mailbox thing from Pottery Barn. And I'm gonna hang it up on the wall in our room. So we're gonna now get different colors of paper and put them in the same mailbox. But then it's also kind of a way that we're continuing to like live our love letter life. Like this is letters. We love letters. So anyways, that was just a fun thing I found the other day.
That's great. Yeah. I really like that. Well, like I said, I mean, I think you guys did a really good job. I love the mission that you're on and the hearts that you have to help other couples or, you know, even single people just like preparing for marriage or people, you know, just trying to make things even better than they already are. I think you guys, I'm excited to see where it goes. And
Thank you so much.
And I think of this book as like, oh, what was it called? Like, I Kissed Dating Goodbye. Were you too young for that?
I did not read that. No,
okay.
I didn't.
Well, like when I was in junior
high,
was the book that everybody went to, you know? And so I feel like this is the modern day millennial replacement for that.
That is a huge compliment.
Feel like it is. And I think that people will get a lot out of it. Like literally my son is about to turn 13 and I'm going to read this to him. I'm going to like sit down. I think it's got so much great, just solid advice that I want him hearing at a young age before he's even really thinking about getting into relationships. Like these are good principles to stand by as you move forward. So
thank you. That's super encouraging. Thank you so much.
I think that it will be a huge hit in youth groups everywhere.
Oh, we pray so.
I bet. Okay. So now is just the kind of like fun part of the interview.
All right.
What does a day typically look like for you if there is such a thing?
Okay.
But, you know,
there is not such a thing.
Yeah. I kind of figured that might be the case.
There is not such a thing as a typical day for us. But we are trying to just have more of a typical week.
Okay.
So we're trying to, you know, just sort of like carve out some certain things that will be consistent. So like we have a nanny Monday through Wednesday. So I know that I'm going to have time to work X amount of hours on those days and then not feel guilty about just being with my daughter on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And so like, that's just one thing. We've been really trying to be more intentional about getting back on our date nights every week. That's been something that's sort of fallen out. And then every Sunday we take a Sabbath. So we actually like don't do work at all ever. We turn off social media, like we're not on our phones. It's like a absolute vital thing. We need to like operate in that extreme because of how extreme the reverse is throughout the week. So those are just some things. I will say though, like I will be honest. I mean, Jeremy uses this example a lot. Like we wake up every day with the machine gun and our hands on it going, okay, like what do we need to tackle? It's like just this like constant onslaught. And a lot of that is just because like launching a book, so much goes into it. We also decided to launch a podcast at the same time and then do these other things and like, you know, keeping our other businesses alive. And so it's just been a lot. In this season. And again, going back to that word intentional, like we're trying to be more intentional about like, okay, how can we create more margin? How can we create more time for rest? You know, all of that. And, but also at the same time, giving ourselves grace for this is just a busy season for us and just being okay with it and not resenting it, you know?
I think that's really good. Okay. How are you currently cultivating loveliness in your life?
Well, I would say one thing, and I know I kind of already touched on this, but, our Sabbath has been just like one of the most life-giving things for us. We've been doing it for like a year and a half now every Sunday.
Cause you guys have a lot of different balls in the air.
And it's just to know that I don't have to be on my phone one full day a week. Like Saturday night, I'm done. And then I don't get back on until Monday morning.
That's nice.
And just knowing that Jeremy and I have that time to go for walks. We're not on our phones with Ember. We're not social media things. I feel like for us, we can feel like sometimes so much pressure to share our lives. And it's just a day to not share our lives, just to be present and experience them with each other. And we just have loved that. It's created so much loveliness in our life and our marriage and as parents. And so it's just been so good. It's freed us up to really spend time with people and just be available. Because we aren't working, we don't commit to things, you know? So it just, that's been just honestly, like if I could tell anyone who feels stressed out, burnt out, overwhelmed, busy, working too much, that would be the thing I would say to do. Like start with a Sabbath, you know, start small. It could be a half day when you first start, you know, that's what it was for us in the beginning, but working up to that, like a full 24 hour detox of just, you know, that's it's just huge. So
I bet that is a really good one. Mine is not as holy.
I'm
always trying to find like those little ways to connect with my kids. And so my older two are boys and my younger two are girls. And lately they've been wanting me to put their hair in curlers at night. And so you know, we're not doing it every night or anything, but it's so fun because they get so excited about it. And then they feel cute in the morning and, you know, but it's also like, I can't be on my phone or I can't really be distracted or anything. I just have to sit there and give my full attention to them doing their hair in the evening. And it's a really fun little way to kind of wrap up the night and they just feel like they're really being taken care of and invested in. And so it's just this silly little thing, but it's so fun. And then just to see their little faces in the morning when they take out their curlers and they're all excited. And
so I love those simple things. I love that. So good.
And it's something like I did a lot of theater and that sort of thing when I was younger and would wear curlers in my hair at night for the show I was preparing for the next day. And so
it's like nostalgic for you kind of.
Yeah, it seriously is. It's like telling all the old theater stories and, you know, when I did this, you know, I played this role or that role. And so it's just, it's been like this fun little way to connect with them. So
cool.
Yeah, it's been really fun. Okay. Are you ready for my stock questions?
Yes, I'm ready.
This first one, I feel almost ridiculous asking you, but K candles are essential oil diffuser.
Oh, well, yes. If you know me or follow me, I'm like essential oil queen. So definitely diffuser.
I love Young Living as well. And I saw, I don't know if it is your daughter's or I was just, I don't keep up with everything on social media, but obviously I was studying you as I was preparing for this and I saw the little white lantern.
Yes. Oh, I love that one.
Oh,
it lights
goodness.
Up so many different colors and it's so cute. I love it for her room. It's like perfect. We have them in every room. So.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, that particular one, I just thought like, oh my word, that is the cutest diffuser I've ever seen.
Yes.
Okay. Cloth napkins or paper?
Ooh, you know, paper.
All right. I'll take
it.
City or country? Another
country.
Like, why do all I want day. To ask?
Country all day. Yep.
Paper or digital?
Ooh, paper. We're letter people.
Yeah. Gosh, all these are like such a given for you. I don't think I've had anyone who's been like this obvious on all of the answers.
I love it.
Okay. Shopping, online or in store?
Online. I hate shopping in stores.
All right. Oh. I'm with you there. Okay. It's 4 o'clock or whatever time you make dinner and you need a mental break. Do you listen to a podcast or to music?
A mental break, music.
Okay. And what kind of music would you listen to?
I'm pretty much, I listen to Need to Breathe.
Okay.
Do you know them?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. I listen to them, worship music, stuff like that. And then country. Those are like kind of my two main genres. Jeremy really likes the, I don't know what, vibey beats, instrumental stuff. So we listen to a lot of that too, but.
Okay. All right. That's
those are our genres.
Okay. Chocolate, milk or dark?
Dark.
All right. Sports or no sports?
Definitely sports.
Okay. Live broadcasting, would you rather broadcast or watch?
Ooh. Broadcast or watch?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Like Insta stories or going live on some sort of social media. Would you rather do it yourself or watch somebody else doing it?
Do it myself, maybe?
Yeah. I would have guessed that for you.
Maybe.
Okay, that's, I feel the same way, so
okay,
you're
okay,
not, like,
okay.
outing yourself or something.
Yeah.
Okay, favorite movie?
Stand By Me.
Oh, yeah, you guys talk about that in the book. My
word,
all these questions.
Basically, everyone knows everything about me already,
that's
so
hilarious.
Cool.
Okay, if you were to put yourself on the crunchiness spectrum, 0 is totally not crunchy, where 10 is, like, singing Kumbaya by the fire with your legs unshaven and dreadlocks in your hair. Where would you be on the spectrum?
Okay, I know people are going to say I'm really crunchy, but I actually, I grew up in Portland, very crunchy, very hippie. Like, I love my essential oils, but I'm also at the same time, like, okay, there's a time and place for, you know, whatever. Yeah. We love Chick-fil-A, and we're not, like, crazy hippie. I shave my legs. So.
Yes.
but at the same time, like, when it comes to, like, the medication stuff, like, I'm more natural leaning.
Yeah. It's a hard question to answer.
Yeah.
So where would you put yourself? Give me a number.
Oh, I have to give you a number.
You
oh, my gosh.
Give me a number. Zero
one
to
10.
Okay.
0 to 10,
yeah.
I'd say I'm an 8 on crunchy level.
Okay. I respect that because you're crunchy. You're pretty crunchy. You're not like extreme crunchy, though. But a lot of people, almost everyone puts themselves at a 6.
Oh, really?
No matter how much. And I think it's so interesting because it's like, even though I know people vary so much, they all kind of think they're like not totally middle of the road, but like a little bit more crunchy. But
yeah,
thank you for saying 8 and not just being like, not at all.
Yeah. I'm also a little bit more of an extremist. Like I'm more this, I'm all in or all out a little bit more than maybe the average person. So.
Yes. I am the same way and I could see that about you. So.
I love it.
Well, thank you so much for coming
on
the show.
Thank you, Mackenzie. This has been so fun. I'm so encouraged. Just,
good.
I love it. And I'm just, it's so fun to connect with you. So
yeah, I really appreciate you coming on and I hope your book does really well.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
I I just find Audrey to be a delight. She was so interesting and honest to chat with, and I think that you guys are really going to love their book. Read it with your kids. It's that good. Or even listen to the audiobook. I think it's an excellent job that they have done with all of the things surrounding their ministry, and I think that you should really go check it out. So if you want links to their book and them and all that, you can go to our show notes at boldturquoise.com/110, and that's where you will be able to find everything. Again, ladies, this is your last chance to sign up for Patreon Cultivating Groups, so head over to patreon.com/cultivatingthelovely to get in on that. And also, while you're doing things on the internet, if you wanted to leave a little rating and review in iTunes for the show, that sure would help us out. Also, be sure to be visiting our sponsors, which is another great way to be helping the show and keeping it on its feet. So thank you to all of you who are loyal listeners and participants and part of this community. I so appreciate each and every one of you. I love connecting with you, so be sure you're following me on Instagram at Mackenzie Coppa. It's my favorite place to get in touch with you, but you can also find me in our Facebook group by just going to Facebook and searching Cultivating the Lovely. All right, ladies, until next week, go be bold and gracious.